tinnitus, with which he had lived for years and years.
Tomorrow is a time for Republicans to effect change, as Democrats did when they were in charge. Sounds rhetorical, doesn't it? But is it? Tell Mr. Crawford what you think in an email to stand@crawfordbroadcasting.com. Tell him on what station you hear the Stand when you write to stand@crawfordbroadcasting.com. And be sure to visit our website at www.crawfordbroadcasting.com, where you'll be able to read and print commentaries. I'm Bill McCormick.
Kay Bright.
We're about real life.
The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Crawford Broadcasting Company, this station, or its sponsors.
Good morning and welcome to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg and live for a half hour each weekday morning taking your calls. And I need to apologize. I think we're having problems with our broadcast quality. I know we did yesterday and I believe we are today, and we're trying to get to the bottom of that. I sound good to my own voice and my headphones, but yesterday I know that the sound was pretty garbled coming through, and I don't know, and our technicians don't know what the problem is either, and we're working on that. I'm hoping it'll be better today, but I apologize in advance if my voice does not come through very properly. If we're coming through the internet, this is the issue. I'm connected to the studio through an internet connection, and I can hear you when you call. I can hear my incoming is just great, but the send from my end may be having some issues. So I just want to say, if you call me, I will be able to hear you perfectly. Hopefully, you'll hear me well enough to get answers to your questions, and hopefully, we will have this thing figured out and solved soon. If you'd like to call me, we're taking your questions about the Bible, as usual. If you'd like to be on the program, you can call 800-227-5278. That's 800-227-5278. So you can call in as usual, and I again I don't know whether we sound as bad as we did yesterday. Hopefully not, but we'll take your calls. I can understand you. Hopefully you can understand me. I just want to also mention that this weekend we have our monthly meeting in Temecula. Once a month on a Saturday night we have an open question and answer time here in Temecula. Actually, I think it's this time I'm going to be teaching. I think instead of a Q&A, I think I'd be teaching on why we can know the Bible is true, or how we can know the Bible is true. If you have any questions about the integrity of the Scripture, the reliability of the Scripture, we'll be talking about that. So we're going to change over from our normal question and answer format, and I'll just be teaching on how we can know the Bible is true. If you're interested in that, it's going to be in Temecula this Saturday night. The location can be found at our website, thenarrowpath.com. That's thenarrowpath.com this Saturday night. You can check it out. Go there to the website and check under the announcements tab, and you'll find the information. All right, let's talk to Marty from San Diego, California. Marty, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. The reply you gave about the person last week calling in about the effects of marijuana, they had some kind of association with the person smoking marijuana, and you commented how it's mind-altering in that case. And I would just like specifically to point out I have the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the King James Bible, and it refers to sorcery when you look that up, and it defines it as we get our word pharmacy. It's called like pharmakia, pharmakus, pharmakon, pharmakos. And it specifically spells out there, among other definitions, it refers to it as a spell-giving potion, spell-giving, such as a buzz, let's say, or a high. most pharmaceutical products for like thyroids or high blood pressure doesn't really buzz you. So that's the difference. Of course, we make narcotics, hopefully not available, you know, a mind-altering, powerful things, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, pharmakia in the Greek does is related to our English word pharmacy, and it was related to the use of drugs in spells and in witchcraft, sorcery, and so forth, as you mentioned. That's not necessarily telling us very much about marijuana, because marijuana doesn't put people under a spell. It's true, it does alter the mind, and we need to be very cautious about putting anything in our bodies that would alter our minds, I think. Although, of course, many pharmaceutical drugs that are given for pain and so forth by doctors, for example, people with extreme chronic pain, many times they have drugs that are given to them that kill the pain but also have some effect on their minds, unfortunately. I'm not sure that Christians should take those, but I'm not sure they shouldn't. It depends on what the effect is on the mind. Now, some people would say that marijuana is just doing the same kind of thing if you take it for pain. I don't smoke marijuana. I never have, actually. And so I don't know really what effects it may have on the mind. I don't know. I don't have an inside story on that. Certainly, almost everybody of my generation I knew did smoke marijuana, and I have definitely seen the effects on the minds of people who smoke, you know, who used to smoke a lot of marijuana. I don't know what effects a little bit has. I've heard Christians who have medical marijuana that they use for pain, for chronic pain. Some of them have said it has worked better than the pharmaceutical drugs that are available, and with less side effects. So, again, I don't claim to know all the medical effects or even the mental effects. What I can say is, we need to be guarding our minds and our hearts and making sure that we don't surrender the control of our thought life to any one or any substance. This would include alcohol, of course. And alcohol would be the one drug that the New Testament and the Old Testament both talk about. And it has a different effect on people than marijuana. Obviously, every drug has a different kind of effect, but alcohol is a drug. And it does alter the consciousness. And so if we could extrapolate from what the Bible says about alcohol for those reasons, we might readily extrapolate to forbid the use of any drug that alters the consciousness, at
yes,
least
Stephen,
in any way that would significantly...
And may I add also,
yeah.
you might recall in the book of the Revelation, and it says there are, through sorcery, were all the nations deceived. It's a deception, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Right. Yeah, well, the word pharmakia is found in a number of places in the New Testament. It's usually translated sorcery, but it, like you said, it's related to the word pharmacy, and therefore is somehow connected to the use of drugs, usually in occult practices. But yeah, I mean, when you take something that alters your mind, you are definitely inviting the possibility of being deceived. It says in Proverbs chapter 31, Lemuel, the king, Lemuel's mother told him, it's not for kings to drink wine, lest they forget judgment. And lest they kind of lose track of what's right and wrong, because their mind is altered by it.
And
certainly people who smoke marijuana
or
use other drugs can have the same issues.
Yes, and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Right on, Steve. Thank you for your time.
Okay, Marty. Thanks for your call. Bye now. All right. Well, we have lines open for you. You're listening to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg. We're taking your calls if you have questions about the Bible or the Christian faith and you want to ask them here. We'd be glad to have you do so. The number is 800-227-5278. That's 800-227-5278. That's kind of a strange way to say it, isn't it? Just trying to say it all different ways so it sticks in your mind. So, our lines are open. Give us a call. I have a question written in here from Sarah, who said, Steve, I am new to Christianity and would like to be baptized. My grandfather is a pastor, although he no longer heads the church he attends. My question is, would it be in poor taste to ask my grandfather to be the one who baptizes me rather than the current pastor of the church? Is there any problem with being baptized by a family member? Sarah, the Bible doesn't really say who can or cannot baptize. it certainly does not indicate that you have to be an ordained minister or a pastor of a church in order to baptize. And so your grandfather, since he is a Christian, it'd be okay to have him baptize you. Now, you mentioned about poor taste having him do it rather than the pastor of the church, the current pastor. It may be in some churches regarded as improper to bypass the clergy that are there and have somebody else baptize you, but I've never been in a church that required that. I'm surprised sometimes at the attitude some churches have. Some churches feel like they really need to baptize the people that they lead to the Lord instead of having someone else baptize them, or people who are going to join their church should be baptized by them rather than by someone else. To me, I don't really see any biblical basis for restricting who does the baptizing. Philip was not an ordained pastor, and he went to Samaria and evangelized the people and baptized all of them. Then he went off to the wilderness and ran into the Ethiopian eunuch. He led him to the Lord. He baptized him too. The man who baptized Saul or Paul was not, as far as we know, an ordained minister. His name was Ananias. He simply called a disciple, one of the Christians in Damascus, baptized Saul. So there's really no suggestion in the Bible that someone has to have special qualifications other than being a Christian, I think, to baptize somebody. And sure, your grandfather could do that. It'd be all right with God. Now, whether it would be all right with the pastor of your church, I don't know, just because some pastors have strange hang-ups about things like that. So you might want to ask. But from my point of view, biblically, there's no reason to forbid it. All right, let's talk to Isabel from California. Isabel, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to thank you for being so fair and logical about the use of medical marijuana. And just in addition, I'm a long-time medical marijuana user. There's all different strains. Some of them don't affect your mind. They're only for your body. Others, it's pure CBD. They hit the pain receptors. There's so much misinformation out there about marijuana, and I'm so glad you compared it to the horrificness of alcohol and or a lot of the pills. I never understand the argument or the haughtiness which seems to come across in some, circles when marijuana is brought up, but their cabinets are full of these pills that have many, many people in rehab, that they're reselling the pills for $4 and $5 a pop on the street, that they get the prescriptions for no good. I mean, all the same things that they say about marijuana, but then the marijuana actually does allow you to still be able to focus and get through your work. It's even given people, a lot of people probably don't know this, there's a strain, there's sativa, that can be given for ADD. It is to focus, where everybody, oh yeah, if you smoke marijuana, you just, it's so misunderstood. So you're really a good ambassador for that, because a lot of people do have different pains or sometimes, I mean, Jesus should always be enough, but sometimes it's just a bit much. I mean, you should be hospitalized for things. And to be able to just take the edge off with something that is non-addictive, works immediately, goes down right away, I mean, is natural, God put a receptor in our brain, grew the plants on the earth, it's a blessing. So thank you for not being, thank you for being
I try to be biblical as much as I can, and I agree with you that although I'm not experienced with any kind of drug because I don't have chronic pain, I've never used painkillers, I never have smoked marijuana or used any recreational drugs, and I've never really used alcohol either. I've drank alcohol, but I've never used it as something for recreational purposes to get high or anything like that. So, I don't really have much firsthand knowledge about the comparison of marijuana with other kinds of drugs for pain. All I know is that many drugs that are prescribed do have an adverse effect on people's minds. And if that is so, I don't know if it's more so or less so than marijuana does. I just know that some people, they automatically accept certain kinds of painkillers that might have maybe a worse effect on their mind than marijuana would, because the doctor prescribes it, because it's been it never was a street drug, or I guess sometimes they are becoming street drugs, but it's not a classic, culturally understood street drug like marijuana has been for so long. Most of us who are alive today have lived through our lifetimes with marijuana being considered an illegal street drug, and therefore Christians have been opposed to it because it's breaking the law, and also it's used recreationally, not for pain usually, and Christians don't believe, or shouldn't believe, in using drugs to alter your mind, certainly not recreationally. But now that marijuana is being legalized for a medical prescription substance, it's hard to say whether it's worse than other prescribed drugs. I don't know. All I'm saying is that I'm open to it, and I would leave it to medical experts to say whether marijuana has adverse effects that the others do not. I remain agnostic about it. I honestly don't know much about the comparison of marijuana with other drugs for pain. I just know that some people have said marijuana has worked better for them than other drugs have and have had fewer side effects. And I'm just reporting what I've heard. I'm not advocating anything. Okay, Melinda from Rancho Cucamonga, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, I said Colossians, but I meant Galatians 3:12. The first part of it says the law is not based on faith. And my question really is, does that assume the opposite, that faith is not based on the law?
Well, Paul does indicate that faith is one means of seeking righteousness, and the law is a different way. So that,
okay.
Yeah, in the sense that he's using the word law, in the sense he's using the word faith in the context, they are mutually exclusive. That is, as
okay.
means of obtaining righteousness before God. Now, there are different uses of the word law in different contexts and different uses of the word faith. And it is possible to imagine ways in which a person could be said to be, let's just say, consistently following law in some respects, not the law of Moses, but the law of Christ.
Right.
And also, being a person of faith. After all, Moses certainly followed the law, and yet he is said to be one who, by faith, did the things he did in Hebrews 11. So faith and law, in some of the meanings of those words, would not cancel each other out or be contrary to each other. But in Paul's argument in Galatians 3, he's arguing for two very different attitudes to how we can become righteous before God. One is the Jewish attitude that, you keep all the laws of Moses and then you'll be righteous before God. And the other is the Christian idea that, nobody has ever really become righteous before God ultimately through some legalistic approach to law. But people become righteous because of their faith or their relationship of faith to God. And so he's talking about faith in Christ is a means is the means of justification. Keeping the law is not the means of justification. So he's seeing those as mutually exclusive ways of seeking to be justified in this context. And he would definitely, he would say faith is not of the law, and law is not of faith. But like I said, both faith and law, both of those words are used several different ways in different contexts. And there would be times when he wouldn't say that if he was speaking about a different angle.
Okay,
because a man in the Old Testament who kept the law would also be, it's also possible for him to be a man of faith.
Yeah, okay, but a lot of people try to tell me it's both in order to become righteous or to be justified before God. And I keep reading Galatians and I see a difference. And so, but just the other day,
when people tell you it's both, are they saying the Jewish law? Are they saying the Jewish law is necessary, or just righteous behavior?
Well, they don't specify. They just specify, the letter. I believe that what the message comes across is the letter of the law of the New Testament of the under the new covenant, and I'm just not buying it. I'm buying it
But we have to understand what faith means, too. When we say we're justified by faith, we have to understand that that means it's our faith in Christ. And what is it we believe about Christ? Well, we believe he's the Lord. I mean, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So our faith in Christ is faith that he is our Lord. And if a person really believes and submits to that truth that Jesus is the Lord, well, then they're going to behave in a certain way that's obedient to him. It does not, it's, the obedience of the Christian is not defined in terms of the Old Testament law, but it is defined in terms of obedience to Christ and walking in the Spirit of Christ. So Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. But anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. That's, that house is going to fall down. So Jesus made it very clear that doing what he said is the wise thing to do. In another place, in Luke 6, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? So obedience to Christ is certainly the norm, but it's not what we're not saved by the quality of our obedience, because nobody obeys perfectly. And if we had our salvation by the perfection of our obedience, we simply couldn't be saved. We're not saying, when we say Jesus is Lord, we're not saying that we will earn our salvation by obeying him, but he has earned our salvation for us, and he's now our Lord. So that now that we're saved, we understand we are servants and we have a Lord, or we are children who have a father, using another metaphor the Bible uses. And of course, children are to obey their father. Servants are supposed to obey the Lord. So the Christian life is a life of obedience, but it's not seeking to justify oneself or become righteous in the sight of God by keeping rules. It's by having a relationship with God through Jesus that we're righteous. All right, let's talk to Tom from Torrance, California. Tom, welcome to the Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. This is a Christian walk and a serious issue I have. I grew up in the Catholic Church all through my life. I even went to a Catholic college. Parents very involved. Anyways, so I turned my back on that church about 10 years ago for, you know, pretty serious reasons and not happy with it. Anyways, I was listening, and I bet I have one more podcast for the debate you had with Tim Staples. And what really caught me was each you talked, he talked, and each time it was like, wow, he's right. I never felt he's wrong, but it was pretty intense. And the one thing that seemed to separate you was he talked about if you knowingly turn your back on the church, it's sort of, we don't know if you're going to make it to heaven. That applies to me, and I'm wondering, just some advice. What are your thoughts? I believe that's
well. Important. What do you mean? You say you've turned your back on the Catholic Church. What have you turned toward in its place?
I have turned towards a closer relationship with Christ, with God.
Okay.
I've turned towards that and actually feel that it's a genuine relationship now, as opposed to this kind of intangible thing that I felt about God in the Catholic Church. But like I said, it was I was brought up in that, and it seemed, you know, I believe, but I don't know. I have a closeness now that seems much more, it is. It's much more authentic. However, there was this guy, Tim Staples, was really throwing some, you know, I always heard, you know, there's no salvation outside of the church, and I know that things have been changed that way. But when he said, if you're genuinely ignorant to the Catholic doctrines and everything, and then, you know, you're probably going to be okay, no guarantees. But if you know, and you say no dice to the Catholic Church, you could have some salvation issues.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you know the Roman Catholic Church to be the true church?
I don't think it is now.
Well, I don't think so either. Now, what the Catholic doctrine is, if you know that the Roman Catholic Church is the true church and you neglect it, then you're culpable. Well, if you don't know that the Roman Catholic Church is the true church, then you don't fall under that. They believe that if a person is a Christian, but they don't know that the Catholic Church is the true church, and therefore they neglect the Catholic Church and they worship God through some other means, that there is a possibility of salvation as far as they're concerned. Now, I don't think that their concern is a matter of concern to us, because the Catholic Church, I think, has always, well, not always, but for many centuries, had a wrong idea of what constitutes salvation, what constitutes the church, what constitutes fellowship. I believe that the Catholic Church fell into the error long, long time ago, and even before there was a pope, even before there was the papacy or the Roman Catholic Church per se, the church in the second and third century began to fall into the error that eventually evolved into Roman Catholicism. And many Protestant churches since the Reformation have continued in this error, and that has seen the church as an institution, political, that has political leadership, and that you submit to these leaders, and that makes you a good Christian. And therefore, the church has become like a corporation with a CEO and a board of directors and things like that. They just call them the Pope and the bishops or something else in the Protestant churches. And this is not what the church is. The church is not a corporation like that. The church is not an institution like that. The church is the family of God based on being born again of the Spirit. It's a spiritual communion of people who've surrendered to Jesus Christ as their Lord. They're determined to follow him through thick or thin, in life and in death. They're going to be loyal to him as their king. And these people have received the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And that's what they share in common. They share in common their faith in Christ and the possession of his Spirit. And this Spirit makes them one body. They're not all in one organization. And they don't all follow the same, they don't all have the same understanding of every doctrine, but they share the same Spirit and the same Lord and the same Father. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 that all Christians have that. Now, certainly there are Protestants and Catholics and Eastern Orthodox and other Christians, probably Coptic Christians. There are some in every group that truly love Christ, that truly follow him, that have his Spirit and are truly part of the body of Christ. But there are also some in every one of those groups that aren't following Christ. They're there for other reasons. They're not born again. So these organizations have nothing to do with whether you're a Christian or not. They may be, for practical purposes, something that people would choose as a place to go with other Christians and worship God in a manner that they feel being led to do. And some people do prefer to worship God in a liturgical way that resembles the Roman Catholic, although many of the doctrines that underlie those liturgies, I think, are false. Not all Christians have all correct doctrine. In fact, probably no Christian has all correct doctrine. Paul said, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Even Paul wasn't sure that he had all correct doctrine because he only knew some things, not all things. And we have to have the same humility. We have to say, well, okay, I don't know everything either. And therefore, there may be Christians who think very differently than I do. In fact, they might even hold doctrines that I consider to be very dangerous or heretical. But if they, in fact, love the Lord and have his Spirit, then they are one of his sheep. And he's the one who has to lead them out of error. And we have to receive them as brothers. And I'm sorry we're out of time. The music's playing. I've got to go. But I hope that's helpful. You've been listening to The Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gray. We are a listener-supported ministry. If you go to our website, thenarrowpath.com, you can see how to help us out there, stay on the air. We do pay for the radio time. Also, this Saturday, I'm speaking in Temecula. You can find that at our website, thenarrowpath.com. Thanks for joining us. I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. We'll continue our discussion. God bless you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of KBRT, its ownership, its management, or its sponsors.
You are tuned in to KBRT. I'm Rob Newton. I want to thank Karen from San Clemente for giving $50 to Save the Storks. Crystal gave $100 and Jeffrey from Covina gave $25. Already over $2,000 into our second Stork bus in the KBRT coverage area. To learn more, go to SaveTheStorks.com or you can call 844-5-STORKS.
Here's another free event from the KBRI Community Bulletin Board. You're invited to the Family Film Night hosted by Mountain View Baptist Church in Lakeview Terrace. There'll be a showing of the film God's Not Dead, October 10th at 5:30 p.m. Popcorn and bottled water will be provided. For information and directions, call 818-896-9667. Tell us about your free event by sending complete details to events at CrawfordBroadcasting.com.
The oldest and largest Christian radio voice in Southern California. 50,000 watt KBRT and KBRT HD Costa Mesa and KNSN San Diego. Also on the web at KBRT740.com.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series entitled, How to Survive Change. Are you waiting for a life-changing experience from God? It's good to want and even seek after God for a change in your life. But it can also be discouraging when you've been waiting and searching for a long time with no results to show for it. Remember that the road to change is more of a journey than a race. You won't wake up one day and feel different, but as you seek God through daily study and prayer, He will reveal Himself to you and help transform you into the person He wants you to be. So how do you survive this process of change? Hear from Joyce next as she shares some of her own lessons that God taught her on change and also offers some wisdom and encouragement for your own journey. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching, How to Survive Change.
The Bible is filled with rare individuals who got out of the boat and dared to believe. Let's think about Peter for a minute, who denied Christ. Not once, not twice, three times.